Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 64, Negativism and Inferiority Are Not the Way. Today is Thursday, 9/11/2008. Yes, special episode, 9/11, ring a bell. You may be asking yourself, in today's frantic pace, technology-driven, consumer-hungry, God-forsaken world, what do we need to solve these complex anxiety, fear-causing problems? Then you may think, I remember when I was in school and a teacher would call on me because I'd be sitting in the back of the class, usually talking and disruptive, and I have the answer, I have the answer. I know what the world needs now. I know what the world needs now. I found it in a song, a song, a song.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, oh, but just for everyone.
What the world needs now is love, Jackie DeShannon, written by Burt Bacharach and H. David in 1965, Flower Power, Time of the Season. I've wanted to play that song for quite some time, and after listening to Pastor Paul's message today on negativism and inferiority, it just was one, I had to play that song. Isn't that just so good? It's so true in today's state of the economy and everything that we are facing in our world today. Simple message, isn't it? That's what the world needs now. Isn't it true? Yes, it is. It is. Pastor Paul's message today, negativism and inferiority. really a good message. I listened to that message, and I love messages on negativism and inferiority, because for me, they really hit a chord. Inferiority complexes. And I can so relate to that, inferiority complexes. And he touches on a number of points. The byproducts of inferiority complexes are fear, being afraid of everything. A lot of outward earthquakes that people show, such as anger and screaming and negativism and just literally bad vibes, are to cover up for inward soul quakes when a person is really afraid and they have inferiority complexes. He talks about being at peace with all men, the best that is within you. To strive for peace with all men. Talks about reclusive behavior. And definitely, you can relate to that when you're feeling really kind of down, or you just want to kind of recluse and pull back. And those are types of hiding and not dealing with things. A lot of people that are into alcohol and drugs, it just fits perfectly with a reclusive behavior, hiding, or having a few drinks so that you feel like you can deal with the pressures of life. And a lot of prisons, there's a testimony at the end of the message. In fact, there's a few of them. One person talks about he evidently visited jails, and they say that 90% of the reason people are in jails because of alcohol and drug-related crimes. Cooperate with each other. That's a big order, isn't it, to cooperate when there are various opinions on how to do things, or to be able to cooperate, to be able to see the other person's point of view. Recognize negative feelings and sometimes covering them up. He talks about masking and false cloaks on negative feelings, such as humility and prudence. So think about that. You know, someone's being very humble, or they say they're being cautious and being very, you know, they're using prudence and decisions that could be false cloaks for negative feelings. One of my favorite quotes is by Simon, and it's in the scripture, and he talks about Jesus had talked and gave a sermon, and many people had left. So he turned to the 12 disciples and he said, "Are you two going to be leaving me?" And Simon said, "Well, you have the words of eternal life. Where else is there to go?" And I think once you realize and you come to know the Lord in a real way, on a personal level, as a personal friend, and someone who you know, that's exactly where you come from. There is nowhere else to go. There is no other voice that will bring you to the truth that you can get from the voice of the Lord. At the end of the message, I gave a testimony. So if you want to hear that, and when I listened to that, I thought, wow. Now, this is back in 1985, and I had just come to Pastor Paul's, full of a lot of conflicts. It brought me back there, and just remembering how I was just so full of that creative process. It was like, you know, just wanting to do so many things, and we did so many things back then. as far as giveaways and different things like that. But I found that it was because of that wanting to be so creative and wanting to just do things and be out there and be involved in everything, that we were just involved in all kinds of things. But one of the things in the testimony that I gave, I can relate to it now in thinking as to, you know, where I was coming from then. So that is quite incredible. And it made me think about how these podcasts, you know, in the future, they're really kind of a way to just take the temperature of where, you know, you are at or where people are at, the times are at, and like a historical, so that you can be able to look back. So if you have any comments or testimonies or anything that you would like to share, you can call us on the comment line. That's 1-715-808-0318 and share with us. I can play it over on the podcast, and it, you know, something that you may say may help someone else. When you listen to Pastor Paul's messages, basically he's telling you about what he went through. That's another thing. You can relate to what he's saying because he's talking about himself in many cases. So it isn't as though he's preaching to you to tell you what you should do, but what he has found that has worked for him. You know, so that's one of the things, by giving a testimony, that you can help someone who possibly has the same problems that you do and that you found a way to resolve them. So testimonies are really important to be able to be truthful. Inferiorities, I mean, you know, it's something that everyone deals with. You know, because we're human, we all deal with it, and to different degrees. But I think one of the things that I've learned so much from Pastor Paul's messages is that the way to get out of an inferiority complex is to really lose yourself in the process, so that you are not the center. You're looking more outward than inward. So when we look at inward, we're going to find inferiority. We're going to find fears and things. And so we have to continually be looking really outward and not inward. And that's where love comes in. Sharing, caring, creativity. All of the things that are outward are love. All of the things that are inward are self. How is this going to affect me? Those bring on inferiorities. So I've gotten so much from Pastor Paul's messages. I hope you do as well. You can also go to the blog, which is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to find the show notes. And the show notes are just the scriptures that I have linked so that you can actually go to online. You can go to a Bible and actually read the scripture yourself that are in the messages. And also I'll put a link to the show, the song. This was just a fantastic song. I love the song. To www.pastorpaul.org, and there you will see our website. And I'm in the process, hopefully this weekend, I'm going to try to finish up the website. Well, it's never finished. There's always more to do. It's always a work in progress, but I'm going to try to get some of the main pages up so you will be able to go to the website and hopefully download some messages, listen to the historical podcast. Be an engaging site that will offer, you know, up some things to do and be engaged in what we're doing. We continue to serve food in Pastor Paul's in North Minneapolis. We serve food to people throughout Minnesota. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions about Pastor Paul's mission, about the podcast, or a testimony, you can also leave me an email. That's Janine@pastorpaul.org. Until next week, have a great week. God bless you. And remember, it's very simple. If you're wondering what the world needs, it's love.
Tonight's tape is entitled Negativism and Inferiority Are Not the Way. I believe this is an enemy of human living. Closely, I believe, allied to fear. The byproducts of fear, negative and inferiority feelings. I believe this is a very dangerous enemy because it is often manifested as its opposite. And its opposite is superiority attitudes. That's what the legalist has. He must act out this part of being superior and then act negatively to cover up feelings of inferiority. And he's never perfected in love. Never. Because he's so illegal to make a standing, and he tries to build himself up so much that he's never perfected in love. It's a person that's never really sure of himself. I'm talking about myself before that I was delivered. He'll talk real loud, and he'll lay burdens upon others. And sort of swaggers when he walks. And sort of brags. And they have the I gots. I got 12 women. Or I got 12 men. I have more muscles than you do. And all these people have got queasiness in their guts. Now listen to what I'm preaching here tonight. It's a negative person that lives this way, and he has a queasiness in his guts. And so then he tries to cover it up by impressing others. Then he tries to lift himself up and outward to, for an outward show. He lifts himself up. And I thought, oh, what a hell I used to live in. Always trying to prove to others. And oh, what a bondage that I was in. I'm seeing a lot of that as I minister the Word of God all over. People living in bondages. You ever notice that the little teeny guy, he always driving a great big Cadillac, and it seems like there's an elephant in a roller skate. There's a great big guy there driving the little Volkswagens. You become name droppers and things buyers, and we try to add, it's like the Bible says, cubits to our lives by taking thought of our outward decorations to make up then for our inward inferiorities. We start to buy things. And so I bought the camper, and then I got the motorcycle. Then I got the home, and then I got all the furnishings, and I got all those things. And I became a show-off and a people-pleaser. Now, I bought friends. No one ever went out with me that I didn't pay the whole bill. Isn't that right? Because I had to be superior. No, you're not paying. I'd strike a person if they dared to pay. That is not the case now, let me tell you. But it's sort of like riding a bike blindfolded. You're okay until you hit a tree. And those who appear to try to appear to great, end up being ridiculous, and end up being unpopular. Because all of the bragging and all of the swaggering and all of the trying to impress others, people see through it. People get bored with you. How many are hearing what I'm saying here tonight? Oh, God. So these superior attitudes and these delusions of grandeur are the reverse side of inferiority. And oh, what a sad life it is, fearing exposure. Oh, God. I was in constant fear that I'd be exposed, that I was afraid of everything. How many are hearing this? Oh, God. Afraid of everything. Oh, what a sad life it was, laying in bed all night long, no sleep, feeling of inadequacy. And I thought to myself, will I ever get out of this thing? Will I ever be able to just be me, whoever that may be? And so we find that we must shun superficial superiorities, as you would shun the devil, for they are very much the same. People are so easily defeated. Aren't we? Oh, God. Oh, my. Are you hearing this tonight? Let's get something out of this message tonight. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, in verse 26, "For consider your calling, brethren, that they were not many wise according to the flesh, and not mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world," listen now, "to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." I read that scripture and I said, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for that. For now in myself I see there is a great weakness. And now I see in myself right now that, Lord, you're going to use these things, the foolish things. And so when I was feeling very foolish and I was feeling very lonesome and I was feeling very out of it, God says, Paul, I'm going to choose people just like you. That gave me hope. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21, "So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, all the world or life or death or present things or things to come, all things belong to you." And I thought, here I have been striving for all of these things and they all belong to me already. Glory to God, they all belong to me already, and I've been striving for them. They're all mine. Praise the Lord. Let somebody else take care of them, but they're all mine. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Worried about all these things, and they all belong to me anyway. Nothing to prove. Boy, aren't we always trying to prove something? Oh, my God, that it's over. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to prove anything. Oh, God. Woo! But all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. Isn't that beautiful? Say amen, somebody. Doesn't that take the guesswork out of everything? Doesn't that take the fear out of everything? Glory to God. Doesn't that take this thing out of us as being touchy and unsure? But then I found that some men who feel inferior to their wife assert their superiority, so-called, by telling them what to wear, by telling them how to drive, by telling them what to say, by telling them when to laugh, by telling them who to associate with. And then he starts to boss her around, her outer life, because, you see, he feels inferior before her mental and her spiritual life. And he runs from the very aggressive attitudes to discouragement and then to self-depreciation. And we have a whole lot of men just like that in the USA today that cannot stand their wives because they feel inferior to their wife. And such a person, we're finding them all over. There's a lot of medals. And they asked me last week, they said, a couple weeks ago, they asked me, they said, Paul, do you find that there are a lot of so-called mentals running around the streets? Are there a lot? Are there some of them? I says, better yet, you better ask me, are there any sane ones walking the streets? But we have people like that all over, and that's why there's such a fight going on right now. These people and these men run from the very high mountains to the very lowest valleys, and you know what their high depends on? Someone else's lows. When someone else is down, they are up. Does that sound crazy? It is. That's the way it is. When someone else is down, that's when they're up. They're usually standing on the person. How many are hearing this? Let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of nuts running around out there. Say amen. Now, I know myself, I was one of those, and I still have some pretty crazy things going on. But God is healing me every day. Oh, God. There needs to be messages with the truth preached. And people have to expose themselves like I expose myself. What's the difference if somebody gets free? But sometimes these people act out their defeat instead of pouting and crying and mooting off. They get ticked off, they say. They slam doors and they grit their teeth and they walk fast and they slap their feet down and they argue with all their associates and they cause divisions. Well, there's a lot of them division causers around, aren't there? Oh, God. They just love to get in there and cause a division, cause a little group, and they gather a little group over here, and then, what did you think about what that person said? And then they force these people to talk about that person, and they get into these divisions. And they gather a group, and they gossip. So whether they are moody or sulky or have outbursts of anger with surroundings or with others, the difficulty is always the same. It's an inward inferiority. See, a person that has inward peace within doesn't act that way. Now, I tell you, since I've been delivered of this very thing I'm talking about tonight, I myself can see this in other people. Say amen, somebody. So many times we try to make an outward show, but you know what? Our face betrays what we say on the basis of what it looks like. There's so much of that going on right now. Oh, my. And we have that gut feeling sometimes that all of our building blocks are going to topple over any moment. And we'll be found out. Well, I tell you, there's a whole lot of people walking around with fears they don't have to have. Then we find this man, he gets mad at himself and everybody suffers. And what's the result? Child beating? Wife beating, a sullen, no-talk person. What's wrong, honey? Oh, nothing. The whole night he doesn't have a word to say. He's sullen. Everybody has to bow down before this person. Why? Because they haven't let God take over in their lives. Say amen, somebody. And that's just the way it is. And I think there needs to be a lot of this preaching going on, right? Because we got a whole lot of mental illness in the house of God even. And I think we should just be wide open and say, you know what, folks? Or you know what, group over here? You know what, sir or miss? Today, you are nuts. Go to the mental ward. Go to the prayer room. Get right with God. Wouldn't that be neat? Instead of just cowering under this person's moods. You know, those are spirits that you're dealing with. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Those are spirits, and they come wandering in, and they're looking for some kind of thing, and they feel inferior themselves, and so they got to gather some kind of a group, and oh, hi there, hi, and oh, hi there, come over here. And pretty soon, you know, you got a whole lot of trouble going on. Instead of bowing to that thing, what you need to do is say, go to the nut house. Wouldn't it be nice if we could say that to our wife or our husband, to our kids? Now listen, let me reason with you. You're crazy today. You're off. And so I want you to go in that room. You can do that to your kids. We're going to lock the door, and you take your Bible, and you go pray, and you fast. Don't eat anything until you get sane. Of course, some people are stubborn, you know what? Be a whole lot of skinny Christians running around, wouldn't there? Say amen, somebody. Isn't that right? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody says, hey, you're nuts today. We don't talk about each other like that. You are crazy. This is not Christ-like. This is from the devil. Get out. Go to the nut house. Wouldn't that wake you up? Say, who, me? Huh? And you'd be found out. And your whole problem would be is that you have inferiority complexes. And you're really fearful on the inside. I would put on a great big baby doll face. And it isn't working. People can see through it. Oh, God, I can't. I've been through it. Go to the nut house. Or we should hang signs on each other's necks. Temporarily out of order. Did you ever get one of those real nutty days? Put your hands up. You had a nutty day? My God, I have them. This person could be dangerous to your health. We have determined that. Oh, God, I said it and I'm glad. Praise the Lord, I'm so glad. Wouldn't that cause a lot of goodwill? I mean, for other people. Instead of causing everybody else to suffer, because we're having these outward earthquakes to cover up our inward soul quakes. You know, when you get nervous and upset in the inside, doesn't it come out? Look at Titus. We're going to be late. We're going to be late. Oh, God. So what? It's all right to be on time, but don't flake out. Huh? Say amen, somebody. Now, I know I'm talking to a whole lot of folks in here. My God, and I'm glad. And I'm talking to a whole lot of folks on the radio and to this tape ministry. Woo! But he creates these outward earthquakes to cover up really his inward soul quakes. He's covering up. When we're fearful, we yell. We scream. We have diarrhea. Is that right? Upset your whole system. And so we have sicknesses. See, it's just like when we shiver to bring up our temperature. It's the same when our temper, and I'm talking about psychologically, tries to bring up the temperature of our inward self. There's something trying to be healed on the inside. We end up cold and weak and shivering. And so these men are inwardly slipping, and so they take to outward shouting. How many are hearing this? Now behave yourself. Come on. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Try to cover it up with a whole lot of yelling. Try to shout it out. How many are hearing this tonight? So we cover it up, and we yell at each other, hey, man, don't you treat me that way. Hey, huh? Isn't that right? And we try to be Mr. Big and Mr. B, right, guys? Isn't that right? When really, we're frightened right out of our socks. Now, you find a man does a whole lot of shouting and a whole lot of yelling at folks. There's something wrong. He's fearful, but he's dangerous. Wow. These men are inwardly slipping, and so they cover it up with shouting. And this is the law of our overcompensation at work. And you start to holler over the very small things. We wait for an excuse to vent our screaming nerves. Are you hearing this? Dean, go on downstairs with them guys. And they go out the door. How many hearing this? Come on, people. Say amen, somebody. Woo! But we try to overcompensate. And so these touchy people then are unsure people, aren't they? Oh, God, I used to be so touchy. Say amen, somebody. So touchy. One little word would set me off. Why? I was full of fear. Full of frustrations. I had all my building blocks set up. And I didn't want them to topple over. I didn't want to be found out. Oh, my God, that's a hell of a way to live, isn't it? Say amen, somebody. How many suffer with that right now today? And so we start to look for slights. Because subconsciously, you see, we think we deserve them. I know what you're thinking. You ever been around somebody like that? Now you aren't thinking nothing. I know what you're thinking. Hey, well, my mind's a blank. I wasn't thinking nothing. And you know how many people are sick like that? I minister to them all the time. And I can do real good with it. You know why? Because I was the same way myself. How many are hearing this? Now I know this is a little bit of a heavy message, but my God, it's the truth. See, you can always tell the size of a man by the size of the things that upset him. Did you ever see a man completely fall to pieces because he couldn't find his socks? Huh? Or because his egg wasn't fried just right? There was a man in a cafe. I mean, he totally went berserk because his egg was not poached just right. You know what that man needed? He needed that egg right on top of his head. Now, how does that suit you? But don't we have a whole lot of touchy Christians too? I mean, they're touchy. Hey, you don't minister down here on the north side and be touchy. And you can always tell, you know, the size of a guy, but what upsets him? Are you upset when your birthday is forgotten? Some people just fall to pieces. You forgot my birthday. Or when you're left out? Or when people don't listen to you and your ideas? When you're not running things? I used to be that way. I had to run everything. I had to be listened to. About the only thing I wasn't touchy was with my birthday, because I forgot it myself. I only got mad when someone reminded me that they forgot, that I forgot. Ooh, how many hearing this? Now in Romans 12 it says, starting in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, hate it, what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be of preference to one another in honor. How many times do we do that? Give preference to another person. Not lagging behind. Don't you find there's a whole lot of laggers around? not lagging behind in diligent, in fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. You know what? The more that I get up, the more that I consider myself to know nothing. Used to be when I first started preaching, I thought, well, you know, I got it pretty much in the bag. I never want to get up that way. You be defeated. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is important. Overcome evil with good. Now you're next to somebody and they're kind of evil, okay? Well, you don't have to hit them over the head with a baseball bat. You just overcome evil with good. Well, the world even knows that. You know what they say? Kill them with kindness. In other words, kindness will kill that which is disturbing the person. The one that's affected at that particular time with mental illness. How many were sort of mental ill this week, one time or another? Let me put your hand way up there. You know why we need the great physician? And the minute we slip off from going to the great physician, you know what happens? We get mental. And that's why you see folks doing such crazy things to each other. Oh, Christians, I tell you, you need messages like this. Because you see it all the time happening, don't you? Oh, God, it's sad. Woo! See, we're made for a positive achievement. That's what God made us for. To be outgoing, to master our circumstances, to create. Did you know God made you to create? You're made in God's image, you're made to create. Not to destroy. Do you know when you're the happiest? Do you know when you're the most fulfilled? It's when you're creating. And I always tell people, create, be creative. Create some kind of love. Well, I don't have any. Create it. But go to the Creator to get it. And we're made to love, and we're made to share, and we're made to care for one another. And we're made to be vessels of truth. And we're made to radiate peace and confidence and security and leadership. And you know what destroys all that? The devil, that whispering, lying, deceiving robber, the thief of life is at work, devouring. Let's expose him. Whenever you see that thing that isn't lovely, whenever you see that thing that isn't good, whenever you see those things, practice. Practice these things. And what you practice in, you're going to be perfected in. Practice doing good. Someone comes up with the mumbles. Hey, when a person comes up with the whispers or the mumbles, clear out. Really, when you look around at work, aren't there a lot of nuts out there? Aren't there? little jealousy. Some girl goes by that's more slender, the other or got nicer hair, or you know, eyelashes are a little bit longer, something like that. And the whole group of women, they just, oh man, let's destroy that. Let's find something wrong. And they get to mumbling, mumble, 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 mumble. You know what? They need bosses that'll walk up and hang signs on them. These people are nuts. Stay away from them. Aren't they dangerous? Aren't we dangerous when we get like that? Oh. You kind of finding yourself in this message? You're in there. My God, you're in there. Same as I am. Say amen. And that's when we get free, when we receive the light and the revelation that we need Jesus Christ every single second of every single day. And without Jesus, I want to tell you right now, it's nuts out there. It's a fearful place to be, to walk out without Jesus. You've got to have a couple of drinks just to put up with life. Isn't that right? Ooh. But this negative attitudes, therefore, not only keep us from achieving, it also keeps us from being. We freeze up from fear. Did you ever notice how people could relate to the Fonz? Hey! You know why? Because inwardly, a lot of folks are fearful and they're, and you know, they want somebody that's real macho type guy, you know what I mean? That's why these Superman movies go over big, you know what I mean? Or the Hulk, anything. Because we feel so inferior. Then the personality breaks down under these negative attitudes and we're not made for them. You are not made to think negatively. You start to think negatively and you start to think no's and you start to break down. You're made for faith. You're made to be, yes, I can do it. When we start to get these negative thoughts, pretty soon we recede back into the house. I remember I used to just, oh God, I had a lot of fears. I thought, well, now I'm supposed to be this person that everybody thinks is on top of everything. And I'm falling apart. God. Praise you, Lord. See, if we're not positively creating and producing, the machinery of life will get out of gear, for we're geared to be creating. And so my personality started to break down under all these negative attitudes I had about myself. And I was one of those people that had an attitude of no and everything new. You know why I had an attitude of no for anything new? Because I was fearful of something new that I couldn't handle it. Isn't that the way it is? Oh, they'll never fly airplanes. We were afraid of something new. Oh, and I'll tell you, all these new challenges strike the chords of fear in people's hearts. Don't it? Anytime there's a change and we're not in Jesus, it strikes fear, these chords of fear in our hearts. How many people out there right now are just sick with fear for their jobs? The guy down here in point C is looking real good. Here's a guy up here in point A, and he looks down here, he looks down the road, and he sees someone that's real energetic like he was and climbing like he was. Takes one to know one. And it says in the end, men's hearts will fail. We know there's going to be a lot of suicides in the end. So men's hearts are going to fail, it says. You're fearful. You're fearful of the stock market. Fearful of going outside even. Really? half of the upper people in our country right now. You know what I mean? They're into alcohol. They're into taking pills. They're into snorting. Why? They're fearful. Praise be to God that I can do all things well through Christ who strengthens me. God, what a lonesome feeling that is. To be at the so-called top. God. You know, I started to look at these so-called intellectual people. You know, they're really in trouble when they become afraid of life and they pull in. And then they wear these long, weird First World War coats, you know what I mean, and a stocking cap and tennis shoes in July. You see them milling around the health stores, and you see them getting into these communal living. And what's wrong with them? They're fearful. And they pull back, and they become a recluse, and they're all over our country. And they don't answer the door, and they're peeking out of the curtains. And I thought to myself, you know, I was close to that at one time. And the whole world is like that right now that doesn't have Jesus. They are fearful. Even Christians that don't rely upon the Lord and get off a little bit, they get fearful. What a help that is. Glory be to God that I don't have to walk in fear, that I can walk in faith. Praise the Lord for it, people. Do you realize what we have? Do you? Do you realize what Jesus has done? No, I get so mad at the devil. Because these people, if they refuse to be outgoing, their nature will take its toll, and they go farther and farther and farther and farther and farther and farther back. And they become harder and harder and harder and harder to reach. And the signs are always the same. Alcohol, drugs, yelling, screaming, suspicious of everybody, suspicious of their love, suspicious of our friends. And they start to get sort of sick, and they stiffen in their knees, and their brain cells start to decay. They start to have a calcium buildup, and their brain cells actually rot from fear and worry and anxiety. They become impossible to be with, and drink allows them to go out for periods of time from their hiding, and they come on strong then. All these inward things come out, and they go out there. You know what happens then? We make a fool out of ourselves. Here we are all pent up. Thank God it's Friday. And we're all pent up with all these fears and everything. And then all of a sudden it's Friday night. And we fill up the little monster, you know, and out he goes out there, or out she goes, or whoever. And they go out of there and make a complete fool out of ourselves. Then we have to crawl back into our shell again. And do you realize how many people are living like that right now today? All over. Young people, 17, 18 years old, hiding. Psychos. Isn't that sad? My God, I think that's sad. And what's sadder yet is when Christians don't do anything about it. And when preachers won't preach the truth, that's really sad. I think we should start to hang your nuts on Christians that don't realize that. This is crazy. While the world is going to hell, there's division going on in the house of God. Stop it. listening on the radio, and I'm talking about the body of Christ. That is nuts! When we have such a tool and such a weapon for fighting the devil, that the devil comes in and gives us weapons to use against one another. Hear me now. And so we see them down here in the mission all the time. Mentally crippled people sliding along the walls, inferior, eyes down, sneaking along the walls. Hi, Pastor Paul. Hi. Huh? Isn't that nuts? But it's nuttier yet when Christians don't see that and they don't, you know, go to that need and see that need that that person has. Oh, God, there's such a work to do. You know, it just makes me want to scream sometimes when I see Christians when they don't see the need. There is a need. Let's meet that need. We're dealing with mentals, the same as we were mental before we came to the Lord. How many are hearing this? Oh, God, help me get this out right. I'm seeing it every day. And it makes me mad to see people with this attitude. Whew. Oh, God. And so we go out and we have our alcohol and our drugs and we become obnoxious. We become repulsive and no one wants you around. And we start to retreat. If I ever do have a camp, I'm not going to go to it for retreats. I'm going to call it advances. Say amen, somebody. Whew. Oh, God. Let Jesus invade your person. Totally. Totally. Let Jesus come in and just totally invade you. That's the only way out of this. That's the only way we can be delivered is by the Lord delivering us. And there's a lot of sickies in the house of God. Say amen, somebody. I need to have the Lord just to take and invade us. How many hearing this? A total invasion. Total. Just a love invasion. Love conquered me. Oh, a love invasion. And so I see these people and they're slinking along and, you know, got their heads down and they're defeated, you know.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Standing there with their feet hanging out of their shoes. You know what I do? I get mad. I get good and angry because these people are made in God's image. And the devil has turned this whole thing around. And it's going to take preaching like this to reveal what's going on. Call it psychoanalyzing, if you will, but I think we need to get into this thing. It's a sickness. And so I've been working on people. And we got some people that are coming in now that were slinking along. And now their eyes are up. At first they just put them up halfway. They were like this. I'm telling you the truth. Then they're like this. And now they're like this. That's deliverance. Don't take the miracles of the Lord lightly. When you see something like that happen, give glory to God. You know, when you're giving glory to God for all the changes and all the things that are happening as you work with people and all that, you don't have time for all of the stink that goes on. Don't we see a lot of that down here, Donna? Don't we, Janine, huh? We see a lot of that down here. We don't have time, folks. We got to start to create an atmosphere of compassion. When the person comes up, we pray, God, what's this person's need here? Right? What does this man or what does this woman need? God, give me the answer. You know what? He will. Oh, then we try to dress up these negative attitudes with, as if they were a friend. Now, in order for, and I'm going to close, in order that we be delivered, we have to take certain steps. Getting out of it just won't just happen. You've got to cooperate. That's a word that's left out, I think, nowadays, cooperate. See, the miracle of deliverance will work as we work. I remember some years back I had to go before a great crowd. Oh, it was something like tonight. I stumbled over this word here. You know? Well, that doesn't mean anything to me now because it just happened, okay? Doesn't mean. But I remember going out before this great crowd, and just before I went out, something struck me in the gut. Well, it was Satan. He came up and he went, whoop! And I got up, and I stumbled over a word or two or something like that, you know? And all of a sudden, a cold sweat went, shoo! And I started to get weak in my bowels, and I thought, oh, no, Lord. So that we'll go to Him. Now I know better. I know I have a need for Jesus Christ in my life every day, every second of every, of every minute of every day. So that we're not defeated by every little thing that comes our way. So that we can see why people do the things that they do. So that we can relate with them. But we have to start to cooperate. You can't just sit there helplessly and think God or man will perform a miracle on you. You have to take a step in faith. And so I was standing there. I didn't know whether to stop and run or stand. You ever had that kind of a feeling? How many have had that kind of a feeling? I have. Sometimes we're so fearful, and we feel so inferior, you know, anyway, that we don't want to even expose ourselves. I'll put your hand up. My God, you've all had them feelings. See, God can only perform a miracle through you if you cooperate. Number one, you have to recognize that this negativeness in yourself, this feeling of inferiority, if you will, are enemies, and don't dress them up as friends. You'll be tempted to look on these negative attitudes as prudence, as your inferiorities as humility. Isn't he a humble person? No, he feels inferior. I think we should strip off all those false cloaks and see the attitudes in their nakedness as enemies of you and of your possibilities. So many times we don't realize we have a lot of possibilities. Now, when these hard times come before you, there's different ways, that different methods of dealing with them. You can flee from them. take off? Well, the world says it. They didn't want to face the music. Or you can fight it. Or you can forget it. Or you can face it. The first three will end up in failure, the fleeing and the fighting and the forgetting. But you know what happens? The fourth one opens up a door, the facing it. It's when you look them things right in the eye, them problems right in the eye, and the I can't and the tomorrow. That kind of ministry can cripple you. Never put something off until tomorrow. Never. Admit you are hindered by I can't and tomorrow, and you'll start to get free today. Segregate these two and then eliminate them. Separate them out here and then eliminate them. In Galatians 5:1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to the yoke of slavery." And then in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and the grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life into immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer for these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Oh my God, I know my God is able. And then in John chapter 6, in verses 65, "And he was saying, 'For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father.' As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus said, 'Therefore to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you?' And Simon Peter," and I like this, "Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. There is nowhere else we can go, Christian. There is nowhere else in this whole wide world, in this whole universe, that we can go once we know Jesus Christ. Don't think that you're ever going to escape him." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and listen, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." The Word of God is going to be a healing to our minds. I probably fell in my attitudes this week, I don't know, maybe 100 times. And I probably will fall another 100 times in my attitudes, but I'm realizing that there's a sickness that must be dealt with. The negative no's got to be dealt with. The only thing that will happen if you don't deal with these things, you start frustrating yourself. Whew. Ooh, some people, when they get humiliated just a little bit, you know, somewhere, they just quit. People quit school, they quit a job, they quit a romance. And some of them even invent a pain and they hide behind that pain. It becomes so real to them, it's a real pain. Did you know that? You know how many people are hiding behind pains right now? Huh? They're all over. They get some kind of a pain, they don't want to do something, they use that pain. Well, it's my back, you know. Or it's my knee, you know. Or it's this, you know. Or it's that, you know. Why don't you go out and get a job? Well, there's no jobs out there. Today I was talking to a guy in the cafe, and I thought, boy, do you ever look crazy sitting there. That you remind me of me. He was sitting in this cafe, and he says, oh, I've been all over, and there's no jobs. And I've been going to this cafe. I stop in there every morning. I can go in there in the afternoon for coffee and go in there at night, and the same guy is sitting in the same booth. He says, you know, there's no jobs out there. Well, I was going to say, I'm going to minister to him. I know I am. I was going to say, how do you know you haven't been out? You have been sitting in that booth for the last 2 months. I mean, that booth is part of you. I think if you get up, the booth will come right with you. And it would be a real bad testimony to go looking for a job with a booth hanging on your backside. But somehow try to shake him out of his shell. And so another Christian I know, he came in there. He's probably a year in the Lord. He came in and he looked real weird. Now I'm going to minister to these people on the radio because they need to hear this. And he looked real weird and he gets real nervous and he walks in. He just looked weird, you know. And I thought, God, what did he get into now? And he said, Brother Paul? And I said, oh, God, help this. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I said, what did he get into? He said, Brother Paul, Pastor Paul, you know what? Oh, I thank God. I know it's God. I know it's not me. But Brother Paul, we were up to this house and we spent the whole night. Now, I've grown so much in the Lord. And we were casting out these demons, Brother Paul. Oh, Pastor Paul, we cast out all these demons. And oh, and I give the glory to God. I give the glory to God, you know. And I was talking to this guy over here, you know. And he's got a lot of demons. And you know, Pastor Paul. And oh, I give the glory to God, though. I give the glory to God. And I thought, oh, God. Jesus, this man needs ministry. And I said, Brother, can I tell you something? When I first got into my ministry, I said, I got into the casting out of demons. And I had a man thrashing and kicking and yelling and screaming and hollering. And even in my own natural mind, I thought, God, my arms are getting tired of holding this fool. Maybe I should just poke him in the face and be done with it. Now, this is what I thought. So finally, common sense came to me. And God gives you common sense. And I said, look it. I'm tired. I got to get up and I got to go to work tomorrow morning. Now I want you to knock it off and get out of here. Guy got up off the floor, all the foam left his mouth and everything. It's okay, and he got up and walked out. And I says, you know, people blame a lot of things on demons. And I says, you know what a demon is? It's a fallen angel. And you know what a man is? They have a fallen nature too. I says, they're a great deal like a demon. And I says, in the name of Jesus, demons either flee or they don't flee. Now, I says, it's up to the person to say, I want these demons to go, and they'll go. Now, I says, I don't want you to get weird on me, brother, but I says, I've got to give you the truth before you go over and infect this guy over here that's glued to this booth. And you not only deliver him from the booth, you'll deliver him from the booth into the nut house. And then I'll have to go up to the over here to the hospital, and I get up in the hospital, and here's Christians up there quoting scriptures. What a testimony. No, I says, I cannot allow this. And I was getting kind of loud. Not quite that loud, but loud enough. Did you know when the Spirit of the Lord is with you, demons have to flee? Half that cafe left. It's the truth. It's just in the name of Jesus. Either they're going to go or they don't go. And it's all up to the person if they want it to happen. Don't you get into that.
Oh, and we called this one out. There must have been 150 of them. And they came out and they gave her name. Now, this is true. There is such a thing. But I have seen people really get mental over getting into this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's a special type of ministry. Don't monkey with it. Depend upon the Lord. Greater is he that's within you than he that's of the world. Greater. I remember when I first got saved and I got into this and I said, and you know, this is 13 years ago when all the charismatic move was going, and they had this book called Pigs in a Parlor and all these, and I'd read these and I break out in a cold sweat. Oh, God. You know, I even felt self-conscious combing my hair. I had hair then. And I felt self-conscious combing my hair because I thought, am I looking at me or a demon? You just get weird. Now, let me tell you something. You're made in God's image. You're beautiful. And that's the way it is. And God sees you beautiful, even when you're not so beautiful, because he sees you as a finished work. And so when you see somebody and they're all mad and raving and shouting, say, oh my God, you're beautiful. What? I said, you're beautiful. I'm seeing you with the eyes of the Lord. Does that make sense? Do you think that would make them stop yelling and raving and shouting? Do you think that would take away the nervousness and these feelings of inferiority and all these things in there and all this negativeness and all these different things that are inside the person? It's, God, you're beautiful. Don't people need to hear that? I wish somebody would say that to me. Huh? Don't we all need to hear that? Don't we? Don't we need to have somebody just grab us by the face and say, oh God, Rick, you're beautiful. He is. He's a walking encyclopedia. Huh? Don't we need that? I do. Don't you need that kind of thing? Huh? Don't you? Hey, God, you're beautiful. Lord, you're... Now, you tell a person that, you know what? That turns the gossip off, doesn't it? Oh, God, you're such a... Oh, I'll just use anybody. Oh, you. Oh, you're such a beautiful person. Oh, you're such a lovely, beautiful person. Doesn't that stop people from gossiping and everything? I am? Hey. And then the old spirit of gossip comes along, or the old spirit of rebellion comes along and say, hey, I'm a beautiful person. Give people food for thought, but give them the right food. Don't tell them they're full of demons. Tell them they're full of the Lord. That's a positive confession, isn't it? Doesn't a mom say that? And the kid's raving and shouting, and they go out there, oh, that kid is so beautiful. And they pick up their picture. What a lovely child, huh? Okay, this is it. We're going to be ministering to a lot of young people that have been brought up by alcoholics, by people in drugs, by people that, because of their own feelings, have caused a breakdown in the whole family structure, and we're going to have to clean out our own houses. Are you hearing this? Oh God, we've got to clear out our own house. And let's all ask God to clean out our own house and help us so we don't flee problems and that we don't fight problems and we don't, you know, forget them, but we face them. We say, hey, we got a problem. Let's lick it. Because God has put us in such a special ministry down here. And I've seen a lot of things that just, it makes my blood boil when I see it. the beautiful people that had been misused. And you know what? When we came here to the north side, we have invaded the devil's territory. He isn't going to have his way anymore. No. People have heard negative things about themselves long enough. And the guys that are walking around, you know what I mean? A lot of guys down here have been put down. Okay? And so they're doing a lot of shouting and a lot of yelling. You know, one time I had a young guy working for me, and he was raving mad and shouting and yelling. And I says, get over here. And I took him in the boiler room. And it ended up that this man was hanging around, wasn't him, you were here, hanging around my neck, and he was weeping. Why? Because he was full of a whole lot of negative feelings about himself. No one ever told him he was a beautiful human being and that God had created him for a real work. And he just went around feeling second rate all the time. Don't you think it's time that we encourage one another that there's something more than walking around a second-hand person? Oh, aren't there a lot of people that we can minister to individually? Oh, God, in our own house? Think about tonight, what I've just said here tonight. Think about it. How crazy that it is to have all the power of all the universe indwelling in us and not to use it for a fruitful end. Ooh, 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 ooh. And to know that you don't have to be walking around in fear anymore. Oh, God, if you've ever been fearful like I was fearful, you just grab what I'm saying here tonight. To be loosed of that. To be free of that. To not have to put on a show anymore. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm thanking the Lord tonight. I know my sister thanks the Lord. I was talking to Janine about my sister. They found her in Chicago. She was a professional dancer. I'm not talking about striptease or anything like that, but she was a professional dancer, one of the best. And she got into alcohol, and she was found running down the streets of Chicago, screaming down the streets. And a couple took her in. And I remember my mother saying, she says, well, your sister's really, this is my older sister, she's really something now. She says she wants me to dress her up in a clown outfit so she can go to on the airplane. And I thought, oh, God, what happened? She doesn't want anybody to see her. And I remember the ache in my heart when I thought, oh, God, that could be me. And this fear that struck in my own heart, I said, oh, God, what happened? I didn't even want to face my own sister. And after that, she got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and started working for the Lord. She used to write me all these letters all the time. Paul, you better get to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I remember all the scriptures you've read, pages and pages of scripture. I thought, oh, God, why don't you write something I can relate with? Well, that woman prayed for me all that time because she knew I had the same thing she did. I was hiding. Oh, does that sound crazy to you? It's the truth. It's only the truth that's going to set. I'm glad I went through all that. You know why? Because I can minister to other folks. God, I never, ever, ever would want to go through that again. And I just praise the Lord for people like my sister and my mom and my dad and people that prayed for me after they got saved. They prayed for me. Don't you think we ought to be praying and fasting for the North Side and for all the families that all the couples that need to hear the word of the Lord and all the people that are fearful that are putting on an act and wearing 14,000 different masks, they're ready to fall apart. Oh, God. Huh? I'm glad I went through the snakes and the shakes and the elk, the wards and the whole works just so that I can minister to other folks. You know how that is to go in the drunk tank and they throw you in there and all the puke that's in there They treat you like a dog, huh? Jan and I took a woman down, and she had been in there, 20 sometimes? This woman that we took down to the alcohol award, we took her down to the, it was 30 times we took her down there. And this is, and they knew her first name. Hi, Jane. Click, click, they unlocked the doors. And Jane, she was a beautiful woman. And Jane walked in there. Don't you think she needed to hear the word of the Lord? Oh, God. God. God, I have a burden tonight, and I thank you for this message tonight. It didn't come off easy, but Lord, I know, I hope it touched people tonight, Lord, that we need Jesus Christ every waking hour of every day. And that, Lord, we don't have to feel negative about ourselves. We don't have to walk around in fear anymore. We just have to start being invaded by the peace of God and by the love of Jesus Christ, to be totally invaded, be perfected in love. Lord, right now we just ask that you do a healing in the body of Christ, that you bring the body together, that you bring families together, Lord, open up people right now to the healing power of God in this very insane time that we're living in right now. I mean, totally insane, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are able right now to set the captives free. God, to knock off all the chains and all the bondages that people have. Dear Lord Jesus, cause it to be tonight in this message. Lord, have it to go forth right now to all those people that are behind those doors, that are hiding all over the place, that are putting on those acts, that are hiding behind their alcohol, they're hiding behind their pills. Oh, God, help them right now in Jesus' name. Help us to be sane right now to help those out. Lord, help us to open up our eyes that we don't lead the blind into the ditch. In Jesus' name, we thank you now, Lord. And we praise you. We thank you for this great audience of people that you brought here tonight, Lord. Bless each special one here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I ask for just two quick testimonies from someone that can relate something in the message that struck them, some kind of truth, and two people for the radio audience, just two quick things, two little, someone, right there.
Pastor Paul, you gave your message for the north side, but I live out in the Wayzata area, and that message is for us in Wayzata also.
I know it is. I know it is. It's for all over, isn't it? Don't you see a lot of things out there? Oh, God. John?
That was, about the fears and it's the torment, like you're saying. And lately I've been getting a lot of, it's like a flashback of before I got saved. And and it was horrible. And, I was watching a show the other day about teenage suicide, and they went through all these a description or characteristics of a person who was going to, potentially commit suicide. And I fit perfectly into that, and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
So this was a really good message. It was good to hear it and get me that much farther, to get out of that shell. And big thing today is escapism. Just keep running and just keep doing something all the time, or seeing something, or watching TV all the time. But you're, like you said, you're still in a shell.
Yeah.
And
it's affecting Christians, isn't it? Yeah. See, it's a spirit. And I'm seeing it every day down here. Every day. And we're surrounded by it. Just like the lady says, it's in Wayzata, it's in Minnetonka. I know that. I know it's all over. Little different decorations in the house. People are people. And we got to do something about it. We got to start using the Word of God and giving people a positive, you're beautiful type things, don't we? Huh? Anyone else? Someone else? Right here.
Yeah, it was, I could see myself being used a lot for the Lord, but I just, in the message tonight, I just realized that I've got fear of man that comes against me a lot of times and hinders, and I get going with the Lord and stuff, and then it backs me up and I get feared of man. And I gotta come to realize what I am in the Lord, you know, rather than being bound up by those fears.
That's the truth. Anybody else? It helps people, you know, you give your something that might set somebody free. Anybody? Somebody got something back here? Janine?
One thing that you said that really touched me was about that you can't escape Jesus. And I remember when I was going through a lot of real heavy fears and reclusive behavior, and I felt like I wanted to stay away from the people. And you know, I was thinking, where can I go to stay away from all these people that I didn't want to deal with? And what it came down to is I really wanted to flee from the Lord. And it reminds me of that psalm where David talks about, where can I go to hide from you, God? You know, wherever I go, you're there. And that really touched me. That brought me back to when I wanted to hide and stay away from people. And what it was is that I needed to get right with Jesus. And he was the one I was trying to hide from, and realizing there is no hiding from him, and he needs to heal.
Yeah, it's like feeling you're not worthy. And I talked to a guy today, and he's from Germany, and he says, I've been praying for the baptism for a whole lot of years, and he says, I just pray that I become worthy so that God can. I says, you are worthy. God has made you worthy. You know, and he lives in this kind of fear all the time. See? Anybody else? Anybody? Thanks for that testimony, John. That was took a little courage here.
I always had the fear of failure before I became a Christian. It even haunted me in my dreams. I would always be in a play, and I'd get up there, and I'd forget the words. And it would haunt me so bad, I'd wake up the next day, and it was like I always felt unprepared. And so that haunted me in my daily living, that I'd always be unprepared for something. But when I found Christ, he gave me a peace in my heart.
Yeah.
And I could trust him for everything.
Yeah, right. That's just the way it is, isn't it? It's beautiful. It always comes out all right. I always minister, you know, if the Lord had me not to give a message, I said, just stand on your head. Say, okay, Lord. And you know, I wouldn't be afraid of what people thought because I was concerned with what Jesus, not that he'd have me stand on my head, but I mean, I want to be obedient to the Lord, that I don't have to be fearful. And when God tells me to do something, I just learn to obey and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. Sometimes I don't obey right away, but I've learned that you have to start obeying the Lord to keep your sanity. Anyone else? Anybody else want to give a little something that might help somebody? Huh? I know I'm kind of delving into things here tonight, but it's little things that bother people, you know what I mean? Okay? Yeah, these are things that bother me. They start getting real sullen, and all of a sudden you see them sitting, swinging their legs and looking at the floor. And oh, God. You just got to hang a sign on them. Hey, you're tutti-frutti today, you know. You know what I mean? We have to encourage one. You're tutti-frutti. Anybody? Okay. Oh, right here. Jim.
It was neat what you said about hanging a sign around your neck, you know, you're crazy today or something like that. That's the way I felt today. I just find out sometimes lately, especially, that I got to pray. I got to go to the Lord, you know, because it's the only way out. I mean, there's no other way, and you just got to go to the Lord. And it's just like today, I almost felt like, you know, I work with my dad. I just almost felt like telling my dad, I said, hey, don't mind me, you know, I'm just crazy today or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's really nuts, you know, when you stay away from the Lord, you really get crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Right, you get starved. It's like when you're real hungry, and when you get real hungry for your regular food, don't you get nuts? And you're just real hungry, you say, I want to eat. You ever see your kids when they want to eat? And you can tell them, hey, it'll be ready in 5 minutes. I don't care, I want it now. Well, it's the same way with spiritual food. You got to have it now. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I relate so much to the jails and to the alcohol and all that. And now just going out into jails, I feel comfortable there. I mean, knowing that these people are there for the same reasons as alcohol, drugs. I'd say 80% of all people in jail are alcohol or drug related somehow.
Yeah,
and
90%,
okay. And they're all looking for Christ. They don't know it, maybe, but that's who they're looking for. And that's where we need to be, out where the people are looking and searching for Christ. And that's where I can relate to people, because I've been there.